Optimism is the madness of insisting that all is well when we are miserable. Voltaire.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. The court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Court is in Session. And having run out of friends for various reasons, I am happy to have Alec back on. So thanks for coming back, Alec.
No problem, Cortland. It is always a pleasure, never a burden.
So when we talked about you coming back on the show, I'm like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I think your quote was, gestures broadly at everything, which there's definitely plenty to talk about. But then you also mentioned that it might be fun to keep things on the bright side and have kind of a nice uplifting conversation. So I am just going to come right out and ask, what is something good that's going on in your personal life, Alec?
Yeah, well, I wanted to keep it positive because you know, it's getting pretty dark out there and I don't need more reasons. So we wanted to keep it light on this episode for all of our viewers, for our one viewer. And and I think my personal highlight so far or recently has been our dear friend Francois Delecto, who is currently traveling around the U.S. banging 40-year-olds, 40-year-old women, sorry, not men, 40-year-old women, and I think having the time of his life going through Texas, Colorado. I think he was in Oklahoma for a day, and then eventually into California, where he is, I think, slowly turning that state back into how it was under Ronald Reagan. I don't know how he's doing it, but I think he's achieving it.
I think you're right. If anybody can do it, it's Francois.
I mean, 100%. 100% Francois. He's exactly what they need. And I just enjoy living vicariously through him. So that's been a recent personal highlight for me.
It's he's such a fascinating guy. And I feel like anytime that you and I are just like chatting on the phone or something like that, and Francois, if you're listening, this is 100% true. It feels like anytime you and I get to talking, we just somehow the conversation meanders over to how much we love that guy.
Yeah. It comes up at least once every conversation, just like you said. He's a character. He's like Tony Soprano, except not at all like Tony Soprano, except for the fact that he is a real life fictional character. We never get bored with him. The man is living out of his car right now and also couch surfing. But I think he could also kill an animal with his bare hands.
I think so. Yeah. If there's anybody out there that could, it'd be him.
Yeah. And he also knows how to like American Psycho, and be ironic about it. He's the one man I've ever met that I think does not hate women. And that's Francois Delecto.
What a beautiful ringing tribute to one of our best friends.
Yeah, well, Cortland, what about you? Huh? Do you think you can beat Francois Delecto?
I can't beat Francois Delecto. There is no beating Francois Delecto, but I'm telling you, life has been so much better since finishing up my second year of law school and it being summer. I'm able to work just a gazillion hours a week. I've been able to do, this podcast. I was able to have one of my friends from work on it a couple weeks back. And it's just, I've been able to golf more. I've lost 5 pounds since the end of the semester. I've been eating better. I've been working out in the morning and running at night. It's just been great. It's been so nice and relaxing. And I'm just looking forward to being after law school and being able to make this my life all the time. So that's been the personal highlight of my life.
Wow. We stan good work-life balance.
Exactly.
Over here on the court is in session. The Supreme Court justices all have pretty good work-life balance. That is because their life is the court.
Right.
And their pleasure is destroying this country. So why would you ever take a day off?
Yeah, exactly. If you if you enjoy what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. And, the Supreme Court just, again, loves running the country. It's not worth what they're doing. It's just art.
Just art. I mean, you have two routes. You get a job where you never work a day in your life, or you get a job that pays for everything that you want to do. And Francois Delecto does not play that game. I don't think he's ever worked a job in his life. He actively manages his crypto portfolio.
The
man lives out of his car, driving across the United States, managing his crypto and NFT portfolio.
And it's just the perfect libertarian Giga Chad lifestyle.
Think about a modern Ted Kaczynski.
Except without the mailing bombs to people.
Right, and without the misogyny, I guess.
Right, now there's that too. Do you think he would appreciate that that comparison?
To Ted Kaczynski?
Yeah.
I think he would appreciate the comparison of the aesthetic. I think he's very easily aesthetically aligned to Ted Kaczynski.
Wow.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't know enough about Ted Kaczynski's whole vibe, except that he was
cottagecore. You know what cottagecore is?
I've never heard
this term. Fucking guy. Are you fucking kidding me? The guy doesn't know what fucking cottagecore is. What a loser. Francois Delecto would know what I fucking mean by cottagecore.
I'm not Francois Delecto.
Cottagecore is just an aesthetic of like. It's an aesthetic of like living in a cabin or living in a cottage where like you're wearing like older style dresses, but they're all handmade. Everything in the house is handmade. It's all wood, or there's like a stone stove or a cast iron stove, that sort of thing. Like frontier a little bit. Frontier, but glorified.
Okay. Did you ever see the movie Pig by Nicolas Cage?
No, but I want to see it.
It's fantastic. But I kind of get, as you're describing that, I get cottagecore vibes from the protagonist.
Let me see where I can watch this. Well, he's really making a story for himself, this guy. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was like cottagecore, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's the guy's whole thing, is he just lives in the woods hunting truffles with his pig.
Oh. That's based.
Yeah. Yeah, very based.
Well, Cortland, moving on from our personal lives, which apparently for you is just going A-okay. What about some good things? You say that? What?
Which for you is going A-okay?
For Mr. Cortland over here, he is running the ACU and no one stands up to him.
That's got to be true. I would think so. If it's my word against match laughs, like, sorry, Matt, but the Portugal has spoken.
He went right up to Matt Schlapp, went right up to Mitt Romney and said, the ACU is not a tool for the establishment anymore. It is no longer the American Conservative Union. It is the Anarchist Conservative Union.
And why wouldn't it be the American Anarchist Union?
Well, you got to keep the acronym. You already paid for all the merchandise with the acronym on it.
Oh, that's fair. That's very good point.
Anarchist Christian Union.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Union. Well, Cortland, what about the country? Do you have some positive things that you see in the country as of right now?
So you're going to have to hear me out because I'm going to start talking and it's going to, okay. So Joe Biden gave a presser the other day and managed to string together a couple of coherent words, which were, the US is in the best economic position in the world. And the thing is, that's absolutely true. As much as the American economy sucks right now, we are by far have the strongest, most stable economy in the world, which is really scary to say. And I'm including China in that. I'm including all of Asia and all of Europe. And I don't know of too many South American or African countries that are just really, really crushing it right now. So we have the best, most stable economy in the world. And as part of the anti-inflation kind of measures that they're doing, apparently some folks over at the Treasury are talking about rolling back tariffs. And I'm all about that. They're saying it's going to mess with gas, it's going to help gas prices. It's not going to do that, I don't think, because it's, but I'm all about lowering any kind of tariffs anywhere possible. And those are two things that are going well. So, yeah, the economy really, really sucks right now, but I think we'll bounce back quicker than the rest of the world. And I don't know. I'm not as doom and gloom about our future as a lot of people are. Talk to me in 2024 when President Ron DeSantis is in the White House and Vice President Ye is doing well, and Secretary of State Alec Pierre Georgi is pulling all the troops out of everywhere,
Jeez.
and I think we'll be I think we'll be good.
And the corpse of Ron Paul is running the Fed.
Exactly, yes. The corpse of Ron Paul running the corpse of the Fed.
Oof. Well, going along with what you were saying, Cortland, something I heard about recently, I think on a podcast, was they were going over basically the most recent actions by the central banks around the world. And they were going over the interest rates that these central banks were setting. And I think they said that currently the US interest rate is like 0.06 percent, something like that. And it's been at 0% for a while. And then he brought up the European Central Bank and I believe the Japanese Central Bank. And to go along with what you're saying, that really like Europe is worse off than we are right now, when a lot of other countries are. They have a negative interest rate still, which, I mean, when I heard that, I was like, "Whoa, okay," because it's easy to lose perspective, as you were saying, for a lot of people over here. When there's a lot of issues over here, obviously, and there's a lot of things that can be done to correct them, but it's easy to forget, oh, they have a way worse problem over there in Europe. I don't know what the British are doing. Because they seem to always be not as extreme as the European Central Bank, but still not as conservative as the US Central Bank.
Yeah, for sure. They'll be somewhere in between, but it's kind of funny because they're doing a lot better than Europe, and I think a lot of it is because they really decoupled themselves from Europe at the right time. Everybody was saying that the world was going to end when Brexit happened, but that turned out to be a really good call for COVID, because that the European Parliament was just going to try to slap them with so much regulation and everything that they did. And I think they'll be better than Europe, but it's still not as good as the United States.
What about Canada? Or do you think Canada is so easily able to like ride off of whatever we do?
Yes and no. I mean, so the Canadian economy is so damn small, because it's smaller than Europe's economy, and I think it's not much bigger than Britain's economy. And they just kind of, I don't know, they're able to export a lot of steel, and they export a lot of maple syrup, because what else would they be good for? So I mean, I don't know what their central bank really does. I don't, I don't like to think about Canada long enough to do research into that. So maybe I should figure it out, but I don't think they're as strong as the US. And I think we're going to be in a better position than them overall for sure. But I can't speak to that very intelligently. I don't do much research into the Canadian Central Bank.
They have a smaller GDP than the UK.
Do they really?
By 1.1 trillion, it looks about.
Oh, so wow, pretty yeah. solid mark.
But from your studies, do you think? Because I would say the U.S. and the European Central Bank strike me as with their central banks being essentially at this point exclusively Keynesian organizations. But the UK central bank, maybe this is just ignorance, but the UK central bank strikes me maybe being more neoclassical than strictly Keynesian or not. But what do you have to say?
The UK central bank? Well, certainly.
If you don't have knowledge on it, then you don't have to answer the question, but just yeah, in case you didn't know.
I know a little bit about how they work. I wouldn't say they're more classically leaning than we are. I mean, they've been pulling new surprise fund things for longer than we have. Different helicopter money techniques that Ben Bernanke used were borrowed from the British Central Bank. So I wouldn't say they're more neoclassical than we are.
Mm.
But the thing that we have to worry about here's is it, like, because Biden's been trying to appoint new people to the Federal Reserve that are of the MMT, Modern Monetary Theory, school of thought. And if those people get a hold of the Fed, then we've really got an issue. Because, I mean, MMT is such a poorly thought out, horrible method of running a central bank. And I don't know how people are able to subscribe to it. I don't really get it. And it makes these leaps and assumptions that, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. It's a decent enough answer. That's probably what I was thinking too. So you don't believe any central bank right now is functionally MMT?
Europe's functionally MMT.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what those negative interest rates are, right? So what they're trying to do is they're trying to pump up the economy from the central bank and then trying to alleviate any kind of inflation through taxation, because that's what MMT is, right? So, and the European Central Bank and the European Parliament are closer knit and are able to work together more than, say, the Federal Reserve and Congress, who are two totally separate entities. But that's they. I'd say they're functionally MMT in the way that I think they switched over around 2020, right when COVID was starting to hit, and people were like, "This is going to affect the economy pretty big time." I think they jumped on that.
These damn Europeans.
Yeah, screwing up everything.
They're wild.
Their antitrust laws are insane too. I studied international antitrust like last year, and they are insane over there. They'll just, there's not even any kind of threshold. They just kind of say, well, this company looks like they're pretty big. Let's slap them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they with the MMT, don't they argue that in order to like be able to fully transition your economy or your central bank into an MMT central bank, you have to make sure that the country can have, they call it a certain term, like can have its own sovereign currency that it's able to back up by the value of itself or something. I know I'm not explaining it right, but it's like they have a specific concept that unless an economy or government has this ability, then they cannot really be a well-functioning MMT central bank. Are you that
I know what you're
with
talking
it
about.
Because they argue all the time that the U.S. is at that point, but I don't know if they argue about whether or not any other country is at that point.
I mean, I don't know anything about. I don't see why the U.S. would be at that point, but like the Euro wouldn't be. That it got. I'm trying to remember what the phrasing is, but it's. I know what you're talking about, and I'm doing a horrible job of explaining it, but.
I just can't remember what the term is.
Yeah,
but it is a specific concept in there that that they argue that an economy needs this, or else they can't transition MMT. That's why, like, that's why they say, like, oh, we're not saying that some random African country that has like a $10 million GDP. This is why they can't just start printing money and go on the MMT system, because that would crash their economy because they don't have a sovereign currency or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it goes by person to person what actually makes it makes that currency a sovereign currency or whatever. Like they have different criteria for what meets that.
But so according to Investopedia, large government debt isn't the precursor to collapse that we've been led to believe it is. Countries like the U.S. can sustain much greater deficits without cause for concern, and a small deficit or surplus can be extremely harmful and cause a recession, since deficit spending is what builds people's savings.
Did you ever like we complain about the U.S. like being in debt and stuff. Do you remember knowing what Japan's debt to GDP ratio is?
No, but it's pretty bad. Let's look it up.
I'm looking at it right now. By the determined by the IMF. Can you guess the percentage?
Debt to GDP ratio.
In Japan.
I'd say that their debt is 250% of their annual GDP.
Wow. Wow. According to the IMF folks, 263%.
Oh, I was close.
You were very close. That's insane. But that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
How is that? Cortland, explain to me how the economy is functioning. What does this even mean? How is this workable to have a debt to GDP ratio that much?
Because I think we talked about this on our last podcast, but one thing about wealthy people, and this extends to wealthy countries as well, is that they're allowed to do things that make no sense and keep on going just because it affects such a large number of people. So like, the UN and the international community is not going to let a country like Japan default on its debt. They're going to work with them as much as they possibly can. And they're just going to keep, printing more yen, which has been inflationary for like a decade, longer than that. Since like the 80s, I think they've been going through pretty crazy inflation. But they produce a lot. So the international community is going to work with them to keep them afloat. They're a major economy in the world. And plus they pump out a lot of kinky porn that international leaders are really, really into.
Well, that's what I was going to say is,
yeah,
you know, when Bernie Sanders complains about the banks are too big to fail, Japan is too cool to fail.
Yeah.
You know, not to be a weeaboo or anything, but Japan is just like visiting an alien planet.
Have you ever been to Japan?
No, but actually a friend of mine and I are possibly planning on going next year.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, we would be going for maybe a week or so in the summer and the spring. So
nice. Tokyo is definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah, to an average person, 263% is incomprehensible. You don't know what that means. And also, you know who our greatest enemy was up until Russia?
Japan?
Afghanistan.
Okay.
And we hear about how Afghanistan's so evil, or Afghanistan's on the brink of collapse or whatever. Their debt to GDP ratio? 4%.
That's insane.
Seems like Afghanistan's doing quite all right to me. Hong Kong, 2%. That's pretty cool for Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Taiwan, a fake country, 21%.
Hong Kong also has a surplus, so they could pay off their debt at any time. They've got a massive, I think it's like $2 trillion surplus.
Do you know the last American president that paid off her debt?
I think it was an early one. Was it Jefferson?
Let me check. I think it was Jackson.
Really?
Or Coolidge. Last American president. Isn't it paid off national debt? Which U.S. president paid off the national debt? Andrew Jackson. That was correct.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Paid off the national debt. Do you know what debt to GDP ratio the U.S. ranks in the world? Japan is number one. Japan's number one.
Makes sense.
By a long shot as well.
Right. What is it? What is the United States? Is it 50%?
Oh, no, I'm talking about like ranking in the world.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. You're talking about the
actual ratio itself?
Yeah, what the ratio is.
You said 50%?
Yeah.
I'll let you make a final guess.
Is that it's not 50%?
No.
Is it 100%?
You want me to just say it?
Yeah.
123%.
Oh, geez, it's that high?
Mm-hmm. According to this website, worldeconomics.com.
All right, so let's think about where it ranks in the world. Number three behind China?
Oof. Close. Number four.
At number four. Okay, let me
China.
Think. Oh, sorry.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, is it Japan, China, and Greece?
No, China's not even in the top 10.
Really?
It says here China's 60%.
That's insane.
You said Japan, then what? Get rid of China.
I would get rid of China. All right, Japan. I feel like Greece is in the top five. It's got to be above the United States, right? Greece?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it number two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's Japan, Greece, something the United States. Is it Venezuela?
No.
Which continent is it on, or would that give it away?
It's on the Eurasian continent.
Oh, so it's Russia?
No.
Oh. Like Kazakhstan? Ukraine?
No, close. Well, Kazakhstan was closer, but not Ukraine.
Georgia?
No.
Mongolia?
No, I think you're being racist and you forgot that this country exists.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Lebanon.
Lebanon. So I have a friend in one of my classes who's Lebanese, and I didn't realize how their government worked. I didn't really think about it too much. But he says that they have three heads of state, and constitutionally, they all have to be different religions. And it works marvelously.
That's insane. So what it has to be like, Islamic,
I think Islamic, it's Islamic Christian,
Jewish?
I think so.
Well, this is Druzism. Apparently that is the third largest in Lebanon, is Druzism.
What's Druzism?
Druze are members of an Arabic-speaking esoteric ethno-religious group originating in Western Asia who adhere to a faith that originally developed out of an Islami. It is Ismaili Islam, although most Druze do not identify as Muslims. They practice Druzism and Abrahamic monotheistic syncretic. This is so fucking weird. Religion is so weird.
Dude, there's a lot to unpack there, but it sounds like it's
syncretic and ethnic religion based on the teachings of Hamza ibn Ali ibn Ahmed and ancient Greek philosophers like Plato, Aristotle, Pythagoras, and Zeno of Citium. Adherents of the Druze religion are called the people of monotheism. What the fuck is going on?
The people of monotheism.
It apparently has its origins in Islam, but then became influenced by other things and is not Islamic, but is just a monotheistic Abrahamic. The Druze believe there were seven prophets at different periods in history. Adam's a prophet. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and then Muhammad ibn Ismail ad-Darazi. So then just some random guy that I guess is the founder of this church. Yeah, pretty much. So it's pretty much just Islam, but we had another prophet that came after Muhammad that is actually the real prophet.
Huh.
So it's the same thing that every religion has been doing since the Jews. Right? Because the Jews said Moses is the prophet, and then Christians said, no, Jesus is the prophet. And then Muslims were like, no, Muhammad is the prophet. And then these people are like, no, Muhammad ibn Ismail ad-Darazi is the prophet.
So it looks like the three are usually this Druzi, Sunni Muslim, and Greek Orthodox.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the Christian.
That is so weird.
I imagine they get along great.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's a paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure it's going great over there.
So it's the three offices are president, prime minister, and speaker of the parliament, but they've all got.
Are those equal in positions of power or no?
That's the way my friend described it to me.
That's crazy. Because Switzerland is run by like a council, I think.
Is it really?
There's some country in Europe that is run by a council where it's like, for example, I don't know if this is an accurate number, like five people are on the council, and then those five people select a president of the council. But that president is just acting as a speaking head. That president of the council does not have any more power than any of the other people on the council.
Okay.
I think that's Switzerland. I don't know if that's 100% or not, but that is a system of government in Europe.
So I wonder if that's how the.
That's cool. I think that's cool.
That is kind of
cool. I think councils are underrated.
I think they are too.
In political organization.
Now, what would you say to somebody who's because everybody always says to that, well, what if quick decisions need to be made? What do you say to that?
I don't want my government. I don't want my government to make quick decisions.
What about like
game
decisions
over.
As it comes to war? Should there be a separate commander in chief?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like obviously, if we're attacked, there's going to be swift decision anyway. If we're not attacked, then we shouldn't be getting into any swift decision. If we're not attacked and we're choosing to use the military for something, that should be something that requires a lengthy debate, not something that can be decided hastily. Right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Did you listen to Francois's whole crypto blockchain government?
I believe I did. That was a while ago, but I believe I did. That's like the type of esoteric knowledge that we need in this country right now.
Yeah.
Is whatever that system of government was that I do not know how to define.
Yeah.
It seems anarchist in a way.
It feels like it, but not quite.
Well, it's a truly decentralized government, but it's sort of like on what scale? You know, there's 1,000 questions for it, but it's way more interesting than just saying that democracy is good.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude. Democracy is like not even the best political system available right now. It's obviously Wahhabism. Wahhabism. It's obviously the Saudi Arabian royalty is the best system of government available for us.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I have, I, 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 well, okay, I'm not going to say where I know this gentleman from, but he genuinely believes that we should have a papal state, and that the Pope just that the Pope just needs to come in and take over the country and
This is
implement
someone
a
that you know?
Religious. Yeah.
Is this someone that I know?
No.
Fuck. Because I need to meet this man.
Next time you're up,
I would rather not have the Pope. I don't want to have the Pope rule directly. I would rather just have a new Holy Roman Empire.
Wouldn't that be run by a Pope? Did the Pope not?
No, the Pope didn't run the Holy Roman Empire. The king of the Holy Roman Empire, the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, was given his authority by the Pope.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I would assume it would be something like that. I wouldn't think the Pope would be running the day-to-day operations
of
the country.
It
but...
would be cool to have a warrior Pope, though. Or like a that would be cool.
But I guess what I'm saying is he thinks that all of the laws should just simply be the tenets of the Catholic Church.
Would we not be in a better state of existence if the only laws on the books were just the Ten Commandments?
I mean, if the only laws on the books were just the Ten Commandments, sure. But I mean, this extends far, far further than the Ten Commandments. That all of the rules that Catholics have to follow. I mean, you know more.
But
of this
is he
than
saying
I do,
he wants to live in like a religious fascist state, like a Christian fascist state? Oh wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I can see the merits of that. I can see the merits of that.
I can't say that I do.
I would rather just live in an anarchist Christian state. Then a fascist. Why does it have to be fascism?
Oh, well, because somebody's got to enforce it, right? In his mind. Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If fascism worked, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it works, so I don't think this system can work.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things to be said about why this particular system couldn't work, and that's coming from a Christian myself, but I'm also not a Catholic, so icky.
Wow, this fucking guy over here.
I know. I know. Just being the worst.
But I think to answer your question, Cortland, what's something that I think is going well in this country right now?
Let's hear it.
It's tough. It's tough. You know, it's so easy to focus on the negative. I think ultimately the best thing going on in this country right now is that the average American can still go for a walk outside, can still look up at the sky, and it's blue and it's warm, at least here in the South. You can walk around in relative ease. You know, there's still a lot of the luxuries that we used to never have are still here in this country. I think it's an incredible marvel for what we've been able to do. But I think it's also for people complaining about how bad it is now, it can get a lot worse, and you're going to wish that when it gets to that point that you had appreciated more of what you still had right now. And I think that's what we all need to do. But besides that, I would say the fact that Kamala Harris is just not been around for a while.
That's true. Where
I don't
has
know
she
where
been?
She went. I don't know where she went. I think I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, I don't watch the news, but I still knew what Kamala Harris was doing. And she's not doing anything now. I also don't know if Pete Buttigieg is even still the HUD's the not the HUD, the transportation secretary.
I think he still is.
I think he took a break like 5 months ago, and I don't know if he ever went back on or something. I don't know if that's where Kamala Harris went. But who knows? It doesn't matter because apparently she didn't have a working relationship with Biden anyhow.
Yeah. My favorite little piece of trivia about Kamala Harris is the day after Vice President Dick Cheney got drunk and shot some dude in the face with a shotgun, his approval rating was higher than Kamala Harris's is today. And that's impressive.
I mean, to be honest. You know, when Dick Cheney shot that guy,
yeah,
you know, it was cool. You know, like there was an aesthetic to Dick Cheney shooting his friend accident man on the trip. But if that happened with Kamala Harris, you would not say that there's an aesthetic. You would say that she legitimately tried to murder that person and it did not happen. And she is so incompetent that she failed to shoot that person point blank with a fucking shotgun. Whereas for Dick Cheney, you know that he didn't intend to shoot that person. He just accidentally shot that person. So, and I think that's why Dick Cheney has a better approval rating at that time than she does now.
Somehow that makes total sense.
Like, you can't laugh at that. If Kamala Harris did that, you'd be like, oh my God. Like, is she going to go to jail? Like, she tried to kill that person. But with Dick Cheney, it's hilarious.
That's true.
It'd be like if Trump accidentally shot somebody. It's like this fucking retard. But you know what? That's still pretty funny.
Right.
Especially if it was like fucking Eric Trump or something.
Yeah.
Shot him in the foot or whatever.
Yeah. Because it was one of his hunting buddies, I guess.
Yeah, it was like a hunting buddy for him, I think, that he accidentally shot. Francois Delecto would know more about this.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a big Dick Cheney guy.
He's a big Dick Cheney guy. He's a big Mitt Romney guy. I think it might also be funny if Mitt Romney accidentally shot a hunting buddy of his. I think that could be funny as well.
With Francois, I can't tell if the Mitt Romney thing is a bit or if it's serious. I genuinely can't.
No, I think Mitt Romney's not Mitt Romney's. I think Francois Delecto's politics are some of the most fluid in a human being I've ever seen. He's not a hypocrite in any capacity. He has principles, but whatever his direct interests are, whatever he thinks is the best way to move forward, just changes fluidly over time.
Yeah, it does.
He was a Yang guy.
Oh, that's right.
He was a Yang guy. But I don't know if he was a Yang guy because he thought Yang would work or if he was an accelerationist.
Yeah.
Because there were accelerationist Yang supporters.
Yeah. Do you have one of the headshots of Mitt Romney that Francois likes to distribute?
Yes, I have it in a book somewhere. I do not remember what that book is. I think I do know what that book is. And I had intended to give it to a friend of mine who is also a big Mitt Romney fan.
Okay.
But I forgot to.
I'm still waiting for one. If you're listening, Francois.
I don't know what he did with them after he left his house. And
that's a good point. He may not have them anymore.
Last time when I visited his house, he had like 20.
Okay.
But he did love to just hand that out like candy to people.
Yeah.
I think he had like two or three pinned up in his room.
Of course.
And whenever a woman asked him about it, he would just list off all the like he would just list off all the women's rights things that Mitt Romney did as he was governor or whatever. Or he like sits the woman down and explains to her what the binders for the women common actually meant.
Sits them down.
I think that convinces them. I at least he always makes it seem like that convinces them and they don't like care anymore and they're like fine. You know, like you can't beat that logic.
What a guy
banging 50 year olds.
I love how the God, age is
God bless him. But moving up. I think legitimately you and I would agree that we both wish we were in Francois Delecto's position right now.
I think he's having the time of his life.
Absolutely. He originally wanted to go to Europe and do like a backpacking trip around Europe.
Okay.
But he said that was too much money. And then he was also worried about the impending economic collapse, and he didn't want to really be in Europe when that happened. So
that makes sense.
So that's why he decided to do it through the U.S. instead.
I'd love to take a trip like that. I'm thinking I'd like to take one after I take the bar. No, nowhere near as long, but just a couple of weeks. I'd love to drive I-10 from Jacksonville to L.A. and then I-40 back to D.C.
Yeah,
that's I think that's what I want to do after I take the bar. I think that'd be a blast.
See, for me, it's like I always wanted to do that. And it was like, well, whenever people do something like that, or they want to spend a month in Europe or whatever, they're like, Well, I'll do that after I graduate my bachelor's, and I'll do it a gap year, or I'll do it right after I finish all my schooling. And before I enter the workforce, I'll do a gap year and I'll go do that. And I always think about those people, and it's like, did you come from like a higher income household where like you were able to afford that, or like your parents paid for it? Or did you come from like a household that had a similar income to me, but you just decided that's something you want to do and your parents were chill with it? That's what I don't know.
Yeah. Cause people got to not have an income for a year, and I don't understand that.
Yeah. That's always what I think about whenever I see people that are on vacation somewhere, or they're like spending a week in like the Bahamas or Mexico or something. It's like, where are you getting the money for this?
Yeah.
And then are you not working a job? That's what blows me away.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, would you be able to do remote? Maybe after I take the bar, we could do it. Like,
I wouldn't be able to do remote.
No, not for 2 weeks.
They're pretty strict for like people doing remote. I mean, they might change that because they are for folks. I work at a state agency. I work at a state agency and
gross.
Yeah, unfortunately. Although I justify it by saying that it's not a federal agency.
Okay.
I would be a hypocrite if I worked for a federal agency. Okay. But the IT department is going remote for my state agency job. So depending on how that goes, we don't know what the overall position on remote is going to be. Because I could work from remote, no problem.
Yeah.
But man, I like going to the office though.
I like going to the office too, but if you could do 2 weeks remote, then we could do a road trip.
We could. I wish, Cortland, I wish that fucking ACU got back to me on the jobs that I applied for so that I could have came up there and lived with you and worked with you. And they never got back to me.
Dang. That makes me really sad. We're looking for comms folks still, I think.
I know, but I have a condo here now.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So I got to stay here for another year.
Fun.
But folks, the worst thing that you could ever be is blackpilled. The worst thing that you could ever do when you look at the world is have a cynical view over it. You have to be able to appreciate what is still here, what we're still able to see with our own eyes and enjoy. Because if you let the despair sink in, you are letting them win.
Yeah.
If you think that the game is over, then you're not going to fight for the game.
And Alec, I'm gonna steal a quote from you that you said to me once, and I think about all the time. Freedom is a state of mind. It's all about the way you approach the world and approach other people and approach your own life. And, you know, 2022 is hilarious. George W. Bush just went up in front of his own center and said that the war in Iraq was unjustified in a Freudian slip. It was hilarious. Like, this is the kind of incredible things that you get to watch in 2022.
You get to enjoy the wackiness. And you know, most of the time you can't impact what's going on anyway. So you just got to roll with the punches.
Alec, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Cortland. I greatly enjoyed the conversation.